You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
If the best Jewish baseball players of all time were assembled in a team, would they win many games? According to a new analysis, they would be better than good and would outperform the most successful teams of all time, from the 1906 Chicago Cubs to the 1998 Yankees. Howard Migdal breaks down the statistics and ranks the players in his new book called The Baseball Talmud, The Definitive Position-by-Position Ranking of Baseball's Chosen Players. It's published by Collins, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Howard Migdal to our show today. Hello.
Pleasure to be with you, Leonard.
There's an old joke which you credit to Airplane about Jews and their limited prowess in sports, but haven't there been Jewish stars in most of the major American sports? Early basketball was dominated by Jewish players, and Sid Luckman was the first great passer in football, and there were many champion Jewish boxers. Where do they fit in baseball?
Well, what's interesting to me about baseball is there's no shortage of Jewish players throughout the baseball history. I mean, you go back to the 1860s, 1870s, some of the earliest players, including Lippmann Pike, who was arguably the best center fielder of the 1870s, were Jewish. And so really throughout, in boxing, in football, and basketball, there were these periods of time where there was a proliferation of Jewish players, but there's been a steady stream throughout.
Most people, if you ask them to name the greatest Jewish players, would probably say Hank Greenberg and Sandy Koufax. Mm-hmm. You say statistically another guy probably might be the best?
Well, there's Lou Boudreau.
Pretty famous. Lou Boudreau.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't know Lou Boudreau was Jewish.
Well, Boudreau is a Jewish player in the sense that his mother was Jewish. And what I tried to do with the book was have as wide-ranging an example of Judaism as possible.
Well, if your mother is Jewish, according to Jewish law, you're Jewish.
Exactly. And so, or if the players self-identified as Jewish, I thought that was important as well. And, you know, the reason for that was I definitely consider myself more of a baseball expert than a Judaism expert, and I didn't think it was right to go ahead and shut people out.
Now, did Lou Boudreau make believe he wasn't Jewish? Was it the wise thing to do at the time?
What Boudreau did was he was reluctant to talk about it, but it had less to do with Judaism, more to do with a divorce that happened early on in the family. So he was raised by his father, and so it didn't come up as often as it would with some of the other players.
And how do his statistics compare?
Statistically, he's at or even a little bit above, depending on how much you take field and statistics into account. The problem is field and statistics are still so basic, even now in 2009, to take them from the 1940s and try to extrapolate them, it gets to be very difficult.
Because they didn't keep as many records, did they?
Exactly. I mean, you have computerized play-by-play now to be able to determine should someone have gotten to a ball in a particular zone. Back then, it was much more primitive, obviously.
Mm-hmm. But they weren't talking about three tools players and things like that.
Exactly.
So how much of your rankings are subjective?
Well, there's a little bit of both. I mean, there's definitely statistically based, and we have the ability to look at stats in a way that we weren't able to even say 10 or 15 years ago. But also, I tried to give bonus points. I give bonus points to Jewish players who fought the Nazis. I give Elliot Maddox a bonus because he went to Union High School in New Jersey, which is where my parents went.
That is kind of subjective, I would think.
Well, I mean, objectively, he went to the same high school as my parents did. So you can say that.
So that makes him special.
Well, you know, it depends on who you ask, I guess.
I sat next to somebody on the train once. I gave him a couple of points, right?
If that had happened, I certainly would.
Well, many readers are, I'm sure, except the real heavy sports fans, unfamiliar with statistics like OPS. Mm-hmm. And they might not know the difference between an ERA and an ERA plus.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a glossary to explain it, but what I tried to do was have a combination of the best available statistics to give people a baseline and then speak anecdotally about all of the players to give people a sense of that as well.
So it's always impossible to compare players from different eras, as you pointed out. But in their own times, who were the Jewish players who were most famous?
Well, I mean, Hank Greenberg, the first baseman for the Detroit Tigers, is number one. And to compare him to Sandy Koufax, who was number two in my book, was very difficult to do. But for the first time, really, something that we're able to do. In other words, comparing a hitter from a hitter's era to a pitcher from a pitcher's era, it was always very difficult, but some of the modern metrics allow us to compare it. Now, Greenberg, of course, in particular, faced very unique challenges playing in the 1930s.
On the other hand, I suspect, having seen Sandy Koufax, that if he were pitching today, he would be one of the great pitchers. He may not have the kind of low ERA that he had then, and neither would Bob Gibson have had that kind of ERA, but he would have been a dominant pitcher because he was just he had an amazing fastball and curveball.
Well, it's a great point. And one of the interesting things about Koufax, and some of his detractors will say, oh, well, he was a function of the ballpark in Dodger Stadium and that it was a very high mound to his advantage. And that was true when Koufax started to dominate in the early 1960s. But by the time you get to 65 and 66, his road numbers were actually better than the overall numbers of both Cy Young Award winners in 2007.
But getting back to that joke about Jews in sports, there haven't been a lot of Jews in baseball at any given time.
What's interesting is that now represents sort of a glory time. We're up to 13 Jewish players this year alone. And there's
in the majors?
In the major leagues. So there's been a steady increase over this period of time. You're absolutely right, though, that it represents a minority even relative to the Jewish population.
And who are some of the players that who our listeners might recognize?
Well, right now you have Kevin Youkilis from the Boston Red Sox. You have a second baseman named Ian Kinsler with the Texas Rangers. You have Ryan Braun, terrific slugger with Milwaukee. You actually have even a third All-Star this year in Jason Marti, who pitches with the Colorado Rockies.
Marti is Jewish?
Jason Marti is Jewish and was almost part of what would have been a history-making event. Ian Kinsler was on the ballot for the final All-Star spot in the American League. Had he gotten the position, you would have had four Jewish players in the All-Star game, which would have been a record.
One of the big problems for Jewish players often is, do you play on holidays?
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy Koufax had to deal with that. Hank Greenberg had to deal with that. Sean Green actually refused to play on Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm. And Green did it in response to Koufax's refusal to do it in Game 1 of the 65 World Series. And, of course, Koufax did it in response to what Hank Greenberg did. But to me, Greenberg is the bravest of the three. You know, he's doing it in Detroit in 1934, you know, a city built by Henry Ford, a vicious anti-Semite. And so for him to do it and take that stand early in his career, well, there was a response, actually, after he did play in Rosh Hashanah and hit two home runs. The next day, the Detroit Free Press had in bold headline, L'Shana Tova, or Happy New Year, which is, you know, not customary for the Detroit Free Press.
Sean Green said that he sat out that game, and this was at a time when he was trying to set the Dodgers' record for home runs in a season. He sat it out because he wanted to set a good example for Jewish kids.
And that's what's fascinating to me. And, you know, when I looked at the connection between the Jewish fans and baseball players, what was interesting was there was a reverse effect as well, that you had a lot of mostly secular Jewish players, by virtue of their following in the Jewish community, want to set a good example for the Jewish community.
Well, and he winds up the right fielder in your all-Jewish squad. Well, I remember Sean Green not doing so great with the Mets. So when you talk about these players really doing well, if they played against some of the best teams in the history of baseball, you're really talking about in their best year.
In their best year or, you know, in their peak. The sad thing about Sean Green is he came to the Mets a few years after he was an absolutely historically good player. I mean, the year he had 49 home runs, he also stole 35 bases. So with Sean Green, really the issue is in his prime, about halfway through his career, he projected as a Hall of Famer. But injuries really took their toll, and so we still haven't had that great Jewish star come and play in New York City.
When if you were to read off the list of the players that you have on your team, would their names be recognized by most fans?
I think so. I mean, some of them are
Harry Danning,
well,
I don't remember him.
He was 1930s and 1940s a catcher with the New York Giants and a very good catcher, multiple-time All-Star. But Buddy Meyer is another one who may be sort of forgotten to Jewish fans. He's the second baseman, but he had over 2,100 career hits and just a tremendous player, near Hall of Famer.
On the other hand, we have Al Rosen, who will be remembered, Lou Boudreau, Sid Gordon, Elliot Maddox, and on the bench, Mike Epstein. Who else?
You also have Kevin Youkilis on that bench.
Kevin Youkilis can't make the starting team?
Unfortunately, not yet. Now, Youkilis is playing right now at such a level. In fact, you have three players like that, Ian Kinsler and Ryan Braun as well, all three, if they continue at this current rate, you'd have to say they're going to be among the top 10. I did a projection for 10 years from now, and they were certainly part of that list.
It's amazing how many of these players play for the Mets. Art Chomsky's another one.
It's true. There was even, you know, much like there was a Jewish seat on the Supreme Court, there was a Jewish seat among catchers for the New York Mets. And the original 62 Mets had Joe Ginsburg, and 63 you had Norm Sherry. But unfortunately, that seat was filled by Chris Cannizzaro in 64, and he did not convert.
Now, what about the most famous spy Jewish catcher? He was not a particularly great hitter, was he, Mo Berg?
No, and you know, the old joke about Mo Berg is that he could speak 12 languages and couldn't hit a curveball in any of them. But, you know, what I like about Mo Berg is if you look at him as a player, he probably could have been a great player had he focused on baseball. You know, he had so many focuses. He went to law school one offseason, another offseason he studied at the Sorbonne. But Mo Berg played well enough in college that Princeton wanted him not just there, which was difficult enough for a Jewish person at that time, but as a star on its baseball team. And the Brooklyn Dodgers brought him up to play shortstop, his original position, at a very young age also.
We were talking about the integration of baseball, and a listener wants to know whether Hank Greenberg was supportive of Jackie Robinson.
He was very supportive. It's something that I love about the Greenberg story is that in 47, his final year, and Jackie Robinson's first year, of course, there was a collision at first base. Greenberg went over, helped him up, put his arm around him, gave him some words of encouragement, and Jackie Robinson spoke out about how classy Greenberg was after the game. And it was just a very interesting moment in the relationship between Jews and African Americans.
Well, since we're talking about that, can you clear up the whole business of Rod Carew? Many people think that, or I've always heard that he converted to Judaism because he was married to a Jewish woman.
What's interesting is, and a lot of the misconception, I think, comes from Adam Sandler's The Hanukkah Song. And, you know, I don't mean this as a shot at Adam Sandler to say that he can make mistakes, although obviously anyone who's seen the movie Click would know that, yes, he's definitely not infallible. But Carew himself never converted. He had Jewish children that he raised as such, and his wife was Jewish, but he did not convert. It would be useful to have him. I mean, we have David Newhan on the team, who was actually raised Jewish, but became in the minor leagues a Messianic Jew, or to many, a Jew for Jesus. And I included Newhan for two reasons, one being that when I interviewed him about it, he very much identifies as Jewish, and I didn't think it was right to take that away from him. But, of course, the other is that Newhan plays second base and shortstop, and we as a Jewish people cannot afford to cast aside middle infielders. For whatever reason, we do very well making catchers, right fielders, middle relief pitchers, but we cannot cast aside second basemen.
And a couple of great starting pitchers, Sandy Koufax, Ken Holtzman. Steve Stone was pretty good, but I never heard of Barney Pelty.
A very early 20th century pitcher had the nickname the Yiddish Curver, which I believe if my baseball career hadn't topped out at age 11, that I would have probably appropriated either the Yiddish Curver or Mo Solomon's nickname, the Rabbi of Swat. But a very, very good pitcher in his own right, of course.
It was pointed out in those days that you were Jewish if you were playing the game.
Well, that's what's fascinating. I had so much fun researching this book, and when you go back to the pre-World War II original sources, whether it be the Sporting News or other papers, what comes across time and time again is how quickly they're talking about Judaism in a way that would almost make 21st century audiences uncomfortable. I mean, when Andy Cohen signed with the Giants, the headline was John McGraw lands his $100,000 Jew, which you can imagine. When would you have a headline like that today?
I almost made a bad joke. Okay. Well, anyway, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We've been talking about the Baseball Talmud, the definitive position-by-position ranking of baseball's chosen players, making that kind of joke yourself, actually. Howard Migdal is the author. He covers baseball for the New York Observer.
Among other outlets, yes.
And he's a regular contributor to the New York Baseball Digest and Inside Pitch, and has also written for ESPN.com and other publications. The book is published by Collins, and I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
It's an honor to be here, Leonard. Thank you.